Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
I feel so privileged that God has given me this opportunity to speak on what it is that He's desiring for Lighthouse, San Bruno, church, congregation to do, and our kind of mandate for this church. And what does that look like? What does it sound like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? What does it feel like? I feel like He's given me this special direction for us this morning. Are you ready to receive that? Yeah. So our mission, God has called us to pursue Him wholeheartedly, to love one another deeply, and serve together humbly, reflecting Christ to this city, to our neighborhoods, to our households, to our workplaces, to the grocery store, to the ends, and to the corners of the earth. So today's driving scripture that's going to kind of set the tone for everything is Proverbs 29:18. If you want to follow along and turn to your Bible there, Proverbs 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. I just want to pray for a second. Lord, I thank You for Your wise word over us this morning. I thank You for breathing this into this church and over Your people. I thank You for breathing this at the top of this mountain over this city of San Bruno. I thank You for declaring it this morning here in us. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Speak to us, God. We are Your servants and we want to move in power with You and for You and in You. We desire more of You. Speak to us, O God. In Jesus' name I pray. So it said there, where there is no revelation, and this word revelation literally means a prophetic vision, a divine guidance from God through His word or through His holy prophets. So without a prophetic vision, without divine guidance, or without His word through His apostles and prophets, what might happen? It says people cast off restraint. And cast off restraint means to run wild, to live without moral or spiritual boundaries. The same word used in Exodus 32:25 when Israel made that golden calf and started worshiping something other than God. Where there is no revelation, no word, no prophetic vision, no divine guidance from God, then we're going to run wild. Has anyone ever felt like you've lived a life a little bit on the wild side? You run a little bit wild? I know about it way, like, better than I should. And so because of that, I also know and have come to realize that with revelation, blessed is the one who heeds that wise instruction. That you have pastors in this church and people that are serving alongside of us that also bring messages and prayer that are giving wise instruction every Sunday, every time we meet in our connect groups, every time you pray with them at the grocery store or over a text. You're actually receiving divine wisdom, and we often take it for granted and don't realize the power that these little things have. To actually have this thought of, my pastor just gave a message. I wonder what it revealed. Did it reveal anything for me? Was it a word that was going to help me to get off that rough side of the road where I'm living wild? Is it going to help me to be led by the Holy Spirit rather than living a wild life that's been cast off? To live without moral or spiritual boundaries? If we're living according to the world's ideals, plans, and direction, then we're living without morals. We're living on the morals that that were taught us that don't align with God's morals. They might feel like a moral life, but it doesn't align with God's word at all. We feel like we're living a life that's well thought out, and there's a lot of instruction, and I'm living very kind of, I've got order in my life. But is that instruction at all coming from the Word of God? Is that instruction at all coming from His divine Word? Is that instruction at all coming from your pastors or your friends that you lean on, that you know are seeking the face of God regularly? The idea of vision and guidance is so important that even secular companies, they have mission statements or vision statements. God has a vision for us, and He speaks it over us through His word, through His teachers, through His pastors, through His laymen, through His elders. He'll speak through the rocks. He'll do whatever He wants, whenever He wants. But so does the world. They have mission. Listen, even Google has a mission statement. Their mission is to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. And every day when people go to work, they're reminded, we have a mission statement here, and we need to stay focused, and we need to get her done. Or else you're going to lose your seat at your desk. And you need to produce, and you need to get her done. Does God have a call on our lives like that? Pulled us away from our lives of sin, out of love, went to the cross for us, nailed on the cross for our sin, saw every sin, not one did He miss, saw all of my sin. There's nothing hidden from Him. He knows everything. He knows my thoughts, my actions. Toyota has a mission statement. Toyota will lead the way to the future of mobility, enriching lives around the world with the safest and most responsible ways of moving people. Through our commitment to quality, constant innovation, and respect for the planet, we aim to exceed expectations and be rewarded with a smile. And the people that work for Toyota believe in that, and they move in that. That's their driving force to get up in the morning and to make Toyota successful. They're on mission. They're part of a vision, and they're moving, participating together in unity. And if they're not, then you lose your spot, and you're out. And they'll get someone else that wants to move for the mission and be excited about the vision. So I want to talk about what God has been expressing to me about Lighthouse. And it's been up here for quite a while, pursuing God, loving people, and serving together. And I feel like if someone said, "Hey, Matt, what church do you go to? How do you like it? Like, what's going on there?" And I feel like God's heartbeat is this, right there, for San Bruno Lighthouse. And it's got to be in order. God's a God of order. Amen? Pursuing God. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." Pursuing God is not about chasing a plan. It's about pursuing a person. We're not pursuing God to come up with a new formula to beat Saddleback. We're not pursuing God to take what Hillsong United has done and mix it with a little Bethel and then invite a little Baptist and a little Methodist with it to sprinkle in something, a little twist there, and see what we get. Pursuing him is pursuing a person, the Alpha and the Omega, the God who made the heavens and the earth, the guy who breathed us into existence, the God who saw us in our mother's womb and knew what we would be and when he would call us by name to serve him. Knows all 8 of my hairs on my head. Knows all this. God's plans are discovered in his presence. God's plans aren't discovered in our minds. As we conjure all kinds of stuff up, what should I do? What's my next step in life? The Israelites, they wouldn't move until the cloud would rise. But if the cloud didn't rise, then they stayed still. Maybe for a day, maybe for a month, maybe for a year. They wouldn't move until God moved first. Are you moving a lot? Have you even sought his face about your next thought or move or plan? Have you even asked God, what do you want me to do at my church? Because I've heard this thing that it's the body of Christ. I've heard that, God. And I believe it's your body and it's your church. And so what part of the body am I, Lord? Can you give me some direction, Lord? Because I want to serve at my church. I want to serve a living God. I want to serve the Jesus that rose on the third day for me and forgave me for my sins. I want to serve the Jesus that is not dead but alive and is seated at the right hand of the Father. I want to live and give everything that I have to this Jesus. God listens when we pray. Then you will call on me and I will listen. Prayer is how our hearts align with God. And prayer is the vertical piece of wood on the cross. And when we pray, he hears. Why does he hear us? Because Jesus is the intercessor for us. He made a way for us to talk to God. He made a way for the veil to be torn, and now we have access to our Heavenly Father, where we had no access before. Only the high priest had access, and that once a year. Jesus is our high priest, and through him we have access directly to God. And when we pray and our prayers go up here, then there's the horizontal bar, if you will, wood that Jesus was nailed to for us to move as his body here on earth in this church. And I ask God, really, do you want us up here? We've been at this a long time, and other places have a church, and we've just been out of school. And is this what you want for us, God? Is this what you want for us? I have not seen the cloud, or I haven't heard anything that hasn't moved. And we're here. Because we have a purpose. Yes. To pursue Him. Amen. Wholehearted pursuit leads to renewal. When this church gets on their knees pursuing His word, I'm telling you right now, things will happen. So my call to you, and my question to you is how much time did you spend this week in His word, seeking His face and asking Him, God, I want to live for You. I want to move for You. I want to serve. I want to do it all for You. How much time did you have with that? When God is sought with a whole heart, exiles turn into restoration. God hears our cries. He can hear our prayers. He can hear our heart as we're spending time with Him. And as we start sharing what's going on with us, He says, oh, I was a little angry at that sin, but I hear the cry. And I want to bring restoration. And I want to bring healing. And He did it all through Jesus. He hears everything. Israel found God again, not by escaping Babylon, but by turning their hearts toward Him. So likewise, we will be most healthy in our church when we seek God more than we seek His blessings. Are we a church crying out for more stuff? Are we a people crying out for more things, more blessings? I need more favor. I want more stuff. God, if You'll bless me here, then I'll move. God, if You show me Your face, then I'll do something for You. Or we say, God, we're a church or a people that have more than enough. We are victorious in You. We don't need a thing, just You. All I want is You. I want my heart to be aligned with Your heart, God. I don't need any more. I have more than enough. You've made a way. Right now, I'm feeling like I don't have much, but I know right now, if I'm honest with You, God, I have more than enough. Doesn't make sense on paper. Shouldn't make sense, but it makes sense. And I have faith in You, God. Lord, I'm in a season of hurting, but I'm going to serve You. Lord, my life right now is hard. It's hard, and this sucks. But that's my worldly view. You don't suck. You are so good, God. The freedom that comes in You, the peace that comes when I just sit down with You, I don't want anything else. When we seek God more than seeking His blessings, things will change. The city will change. This church congregation will change. Pastor, pray for me. I need a car. No, what you need to do is seek His face. Yes. Open up His word. Seek Him first, and then we'll see what happens. You won't even have to ask me to pray for a car, because God will provide transportation. A.W. Tozer says, to have found God and still pursue Him is the soul's paradox of love. We must want God more than anything He gives us. We go to God for things. Instead of going to God to praise Him for what He's done and already given us. Praise Him for what He's already given you and move in that posture. And careful, because then He gives more. More than your mind could fathom. But careful. Do it all for Him, and it'll be light. Do it all for You, and it will get heavy. And He'll put you on your knees, asking, what is going on? I don't understand this. What if we made Sunday gatherings a seeking space where we just started seeking Him for His plan, pursuing Him for His idea for this church, pursuing Him for His idea for our life, pursuing Him for the idea, what's Your idea for a man or a woman in my life? Because I'm single. What does that look like, God? I'm going to pursue You in Your house. Yes. I'm going to bring it to my brothers and sisters in my church, and I'm going to ask them to pray for me. I'm going to put it on a Connect card so they can be praying for that on Tuesday nights. I'm not going to start thinking about this and trusting in my own desires and in my own flesh. I'm going to start trusting in You, God. Amen. I'm bringing this to You. Yes. I want to pursue You, God, Amen. With everything I got. I'm going to church because I need direction, God.
Amen. Come on.
And I don't want to miss out on it. I don't want to miss a second of where you're moving, God. What if we were practicing pursuit through prayer and scripture and repentance and fasting? What if our lives look like that? If someone said, yeah, I'm not a Christian, but my neighbor is. My neighbor Matt's a Christian. And I don't know, I don't even know what that means, but I know that he prays a lot. I know that he's in scripture a lot. I know that he does this weird thing, he fasts. I don't know how he does that. Last week I saw he missed out on pizza. I don't even know why he would do something like that. And he's talked about something crazy. He's tried to encourage me about repentance. He's brought this weird thing up. This is what he talks about. This is who he is. I don't know. But to be honest with you, I've been watching the news and it seems like our world's falling apart. And I'm starting to wonder about this neighbor, Matt. What if we lived a life that looked like that? Would it cause people to wonder? How does Matt have such peace? That dude went through a divorce, lost a bunch of stuff. He was down and out. He was a mess. He started serving God. He started living for God. Then God brought another wife that was better than the first. Then God said, I gave you kids. You messed all that. I'll give you some more kids and you can try again. Serve me and let's see what happens.
Yes, come on. Come on. Come on.
All that is forgiveness. He forgave me for the mess of a man that I was. And he said, I love you, and I see your heart. I know you wanted to get it right the first time, and you messed it up. But that was just a shadow of what I had for you.
Come on.
Now walk in this promised land.
Come on.
Does anybody else want some of this?
Yes. Amen. Come on.
Remember that hope and faith, this is like the thing we want, right? I have hope that something greater is coming. Yes. I have faith that something greater is coming. I have faith that your promise is coming. All of this flows out of intimacy, not convenience.
Come on.
Did you stop and pray this week? I didn't have time. It wasn't convenient. We had stuff. We had things. We were busy. If you knew what was going on in my life, brother, you would know that I didn't have time to stop and pray. If you knew all the stuff that I have going, I have way more on my plate than anyone in the world has on their plate.
Come on.
And I didn't pray and I didn't seek God's word, but he loves me. He's a God that loves.
Yes. Amen.
And I don't need to do all that because he loves. Yes, he loves.
Yes.
But there's got to come a point where we get past that and start pursuing him.
Amen.
Because we already know that he loves us. Because we already know what he's done on the cross. Because we've already, taste and see. We've tasted, we've seen, we've experienced, and we're still carrying on like we're too busy and we're not seeking him.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not a message to remind you that you're not good enough and that you're doing it wrong. This is not that message. I hear that message in my head enough. I wasn't sent here this morning to give you that message. The message is when we truly pursue God, his love changes us. And that love will overflow onto others. And our call is to share this with others. Now that we've got it, let's give it. And how do we do that? We pursue him. Listen to this again. When we truly pursue God, what is that? Number what? Number one, God is a God of order. Pursuing God's number one, yeah?
Right.
When we truly pursue God, his love changes us. When we're pursuing him, his love changes us. His love changes us. And that love will overflow to number two, loving people. When we pursue him, it changes our trajectory. And now we've been seeking his face in everything that we do. Lord God, lead me into that new job. Lord God, heal my house. It's a mess right now. Our marriage is struggling. Our relationships are struggling. Heal this, God. Show us how. You're our leader. We start doing stuff like that. We start seeking him, and he starts healing the land, and suddenly, now we're, there's a shift, there's a paradigm shift. We go from, what do we want, to what does my brother need? What does my sister need? I'm going to pursue them. I'm going to love on them. There's a shift. Jesus did not die on the cross saying, hold on, God, I need some stuff. Can you take me down off here because I need a new Toyota Highlander with that leather interior and that sunroof that goes all the way from the front to the back. And when I get it, I promise you, God, I'll put a lift kit on it. And I'll put the rims on it. I'm going to have it tinted, God. I'm going to do it, God. No, he gave his life for us.
Yes.
He gave his life for us.
Amen.
He gave his life for us. And he says, pursue me, and I will turn you into a person that will give your life away for someone else, just as I did. And you can have the rims, and you can have the Toyota Highlander, and you can have all that. Give me Jesus. John 15:12 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Step two, loving people. My command is this. He's not asking, like, if you feel cozy today, if the weather's right for you today, if you feel good in your outfit today. He's not asking for, like, an emotion or a feeling. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. What a blessing. What a blessing. If we've made it to this point to hear this, if you're hearing me this morning and you're feeling goosebumps, like, what the heck is going on? What did God just say? If you've reached this point where you're like, well, this command, I want to do this. Love each other as I have loved you. If you are feeling this, then you have sat with God and you know God.
Amen.
And if you know God, then there are no excuses why you're not pursuing him on a regular basis. There are no excuses why you're not, why aren't you loving people? Why are you hiding in your house?
Come on.
Why have you not loved anyone this week? Love is not an emotion the church offers. It's the evidence of Christ's life living in us. It's evidence. We can desire a church that has the lights and the backdrop and the worship that's crazy aligned with all the stuff we hear on the radio, on Apple Music, and the YouTube videos, and we could have all that. You guys want to go that direction? We can just make that our goal if you want. And I'm not knocking it. Like, cool, cool. I've been there. We have family that goes to churches like that. I love it. But when it gets in the way of pursuing God and loving people and serving together, that's when there's a problem. And I feel like maybe that stuff gets in my way. Does it get in your way? Is it in your way? Love is not an emotion that the church offers. Love is the evidence that God is moving in this church. Love is the evidence that God is moving in your heart. Love is the evidence that God has transformed your mind and has made you whole and is bringing you back to your original design. God has restored you. God has pimped your ride. You ever see that show? There was a show, I think it was MTV. And that's a show that we watch. Like, look what they did. They restored this car. That's amazing. We should be amazed about how God is restoring us from this broken, rusty beater into something holy. Named and seen by God. Called by God. We should be talking about this restoration. Why haven't we told anyone? When's the last time we've seen somebody restored in our church body? When's the last time we've seen someone healed? Can you talk about that? Do you have a story about when you prayed over somebody and they got healed right then and there because of your faith and their faith? Or is it, you can't talk about it because you didn't do that? Jesus sets the standard for love. Jesus sets the standard, not us. As I have loved you means sacrificial, patient, and undeserved love. We want to love those that treat us well, that look at us right, that have the right tone of voice with us. We want to love those that are driving next to us safely and calmly. We want to love those only when they're acting right. We don't want to love those that are hard to love. How hard was it for Jesus to love us? Can you imagine seeing the sin? I can't imagine Jesus looking down and seeing the stuff that I've done and saying, "Now I love you and I forgive you. And I'm going to use you, you filthy, broken man. I'm going to use you for my glory." Amen. Who am I to not love somebody that's doing me wrong? I need to lay down my pride. Where does pride in Jesus align? Love is the mark of discipleship. John 13:35 says, "The world does not recognize our church by our preaching, but by our love." Love requires community. If it didn't require community, we would have no church. Who designed the church? And it doesn't take a big church. We're waiting for a big... I feel like I'm going to repent right now. I feel like I've been waiting for a slightly bigger church and waiting for things to happen around here. And I ask your forgiveness. And God, I ask your forgiveness. We have enough people here to move way mightier than these big churches down the street.
Come on.
I haven't seen them out doing nothing.
Come on.
I've been out in this community as of late. I don't see them. I'm not doing anything. But what are we doing? I didn't see us out there either. What are we doing? Are we waiting for Pastor to come up with a scheme on how to love people? I feel like if you guys are pursuing God, the church, not you guys, I'm saying as a whole, our congregation, when we pursue God and we get filled and we start having this desire to love people, you guys are going to be knocking on my door, blowing up my phone, texting, calling, going, "Pastor, God told me we need to go. But I don't have money. Do we have money in savings? Because we need to go do this. Let's go." Are you waiting for me? Am I waiting for you? We should both be a little convicted in here this morning. Because this is the mission that God has called San Bruno Lighthouse to. Also, a loving conviction, exciting to be convicted. My girls, they'll do something and Allison and I will correct them. And we have to be parents. Sometimes it's like this. "Hey, Zoe, you know, hey, Kaya, hey, Libby." And we give them, and God, I do that because I love these girls. Because I want the best for them. Because I want to bring the gold out of them. And so does God want to do that. In each one of us and in his church. Love requires community. You cannot love people in isolation. You can't love them in your car. "I'm just going to stay in my car. I got an hour and a half to wait. I'll just sit here." Love demands relationship. Love demands forgiveness. And love demands humility. Who cares if we're talking to people that are smarter than us? They think they're smarter than us and they know more and they have better direction. Who cares? Then listen. Be with them. Think of the way that Jesus washed his disciples' feet. What if we rolled up and spent some time with someone that needed to be cleansed? What if we rolled up on someone like Judas, the man who betrayed our king? What if we rolled up on someone like that we knew, you know what? This is a backstabber. I'm going to spend some time with him. I'm going to love on her. Because I have a God that will protect me. Because I have a God that loves me and will cover me through all of this. So I'm not going to be afraid to roll up on a person like this. A quote from Mother Teresa. If you judge people, then you have no time to love them. Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier than when they came to you. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Somebody needs to hear that. I needed to hear that. Can you imagine? Let no one come to you unless you're ready to speak life into them so that when they leave you, they're feeling better and encouraged than when they came to you. That could be your enemy. That can be the person that you haven't talked to in 5 or 10 years or something. This is the person that did you wrong, that hurt your feelings the most. Don't let them leave the conversation without them feeling the forgiveness that Jesus gave you. This is loving people. This is how to love people. When love takes root, listen, when it takes root, it naturally moves to action, birthing in us a desire to serve others. The love takes root, and it births a desire to serve others. Point three, serving together. Matthew 20:28 says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." He gave his life as a ransom. We profess to be Christians, but we want everything on a plate for us. We want to walk into a church. We want the lights to be set for us. We want the candles to be lit. We want the temperature right. We hope that the coffee better be done, and they better have that creamer that I like. They better have this. The church better have that. You know what? The worship better be this way, and the pastor better be on point. Because you know what? 3 weeks in a row, this guy has not brought this message that I was hoping for, that I'm demanding, and I'm thinking about leaving this church. Because these people just aren't serving me right. This situation's not serving me right. This situation's not working out for me right. That's fine. If it's not working out for you, go somewhere else. But if you're called to this church, here's what we need to be doing here. Pursuing God, loving people, and serving together, period. And we're not hoping for something fancy, clearly. Are we opposed to having a building of our own? No. I'll just put that out there. But if God doesn't do that, then we're fine here. I'm fine here. And it's clear that I'm fine preaching to chairs. I don't need people. God needs people. I'm fine doing my job and saying, "This God, this is what you wanted me to do, so I'm going to do it this morning." I don't need people. God is calling a community to this church. It is His community. When we pursue God and we love each other and we serve together, that's going to fill these chairs. And whenever that happens, however that happens, that's up to God and us pursuing Him. I'm at peace with it all. Are you? Serving flows from identity, not obligation. Jesus knew who He was, so He had no desire to be a standout. He had no desire. If Jesus was right here right now, I don't think Jesus would be asking for a camera, for a YouTube shot, for a quick quote, for a, "Hey, get me. I don't think so. Serving is how we resemble Christ. When we're serving, we're looking like Christ. When we're serving, it's going to feel like Jesus. When we start serving, it's going to smell like Jesus. Every act of service points to the cross. When the disciples argued over greatness, Jesus sat and He taught, "The first should be last," showing the posture of a servant. The heart of a servant defines leadership in the kingdom. It's not about who's doing what here, who's better than who, who's smarter than who's more handsome than who's more pretty than who's doing what. I want to be pastor's right-hand man. I want to be the pastor. I'm going to take over. This is all worldly stuff. Jesus was a servant. What should we be? Should we be concerned about the person to the right or left of us and what they're doing? Or should we ask God, seek him and say, what do you want me to do, God? I want to serve you. What does that look like? Henry Nouwen says, the servant leader is the one who is willing to be the least visible. The deeper you enter into the heart of God, the more you desire to serve rather than to be seen. There's an order. When you pursue him, you start loving because he loved you. And now that love comes serving together. And when we start serving the way Jesus served, you don't even want people to know it. There's a scripture that says, don't let the right hand know what your left hand is doing. There's a reason for that. We don't need to boast. If there's anything that we boast in Christ Jesus. Amen? All right, closing. Pursue God because he first pursued you. Pursued you. I'm like Moses right now, my tongue all over the place. Love people because he loved you to the cross. Serve together because he displayed a life of service. And I want to invite, church, I want to invite you this morning to have a moment to recommit your heart to this mission for God, with God, for Jesus, with Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit. Be on mission at Lighthouse San Bruno. If we could just take a moment and ask God, each one of us, to guide us into a thought. Lord, what is my next step? What do I need to do to be on point? I want to be on mission, Lord God. Google's got a mission. Toyota's got a mission. Lord, I forgot. You have a mission for me. What's my next step? Pursuing you. What is that, Lord? And for some of us, God's like, you've been doing that so faithfully. I'm so proud of you. Then, Lord, what is my next step in loving people? Speak that, God. And some of us have been doing that, like, God's like, I'm so proud of you. You've been pursuing me. You've been loving people. Then, Lord, what is my next step in serving in my church so that we can serve together? That we would be united as one, as the body of Christ here at Lighthouse San Bruno. Lord, what is that? Lord, guide us. We repent, Lord God. We repent for the things that you've been talking to us about, the things that you've been asking us to do that we haven't stepped out and done. Forgive us, God. Thank you for loving us, God. Thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your joy, Lord God. Even as we do things so imperfectly, there's still this joy and this smile on your face, Lord God. As you look at us, you're like, I'm so proud of you guys. My sons and my daughters, I so love you. I want to close with this scripture. It says in Hebrews 9:14, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences for acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.